Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2020. We celebrate the life, the mission, and the example today of Dr. Martin Luther King, the great civil rights activist from the 60s who was tragically assassinated in 1968. But he is an example today for the program in that he stood up for freedom, human rights, race relations, and injustices all over the world. Now, while many people, unfortunately, will take this day off of work and really not remember, we are remembering today on the cross in the desert. In fact, a lot of my Iranian friends really look up to Dr. King's example, his famous speech of "I have a dream," because they're constantly referring to that speech in the sense of "I have a dream of freedom and democracy in Iran," just like Dr. King's famous speech in 1963 in Washington. Today on the broadcast, I want to take some time and I want to talk about my dear Iranian Christian friend, Mary Fatima Mohammadi. If you've been following my Facebook page, and there has been great traffic on one particular post, if you've been following my page about Mary Mohammadi, you know what happened over a week ago. She was arrested at a city square in Tehran during the intense protests of the downed Ukrainian jetliner with the Iranians on board. She was arrested there in Freedom Square. That has been over a week ago. I have checked on my sources, and there has still been no word as to where Fatima is spending her time now. I have a hunch where she's being kept, but her family, of course, knowing that she didn't return home, went to the police or went to court and was just told that she has been arrested, but they had no information on where she has been taken. I believe that Fatima is probably in Ward 2A of Evin Prison at this time, I believe, and she is being very thoroughly interrogated by the police about her Christian associations, who she's talked to. That probably includes yours truly, her mission and the things that she has been busy for the last several months. The fact that Mary Fatima Mohammadi spent 6 months in Evin prison back in 2018, it is very unlikely that she is going to be soon released because she has been busy with many Christian activities after being warned in her imprisonment in 2017 to not engage in these activities anymore. But of course, I know Fatima, and she is a very courageous, determined young girl, just 21 years old. She refuses to be silent about the plight of Christians in Iran. And so I think I know her pretty well. I've gotten to know her in the last maybe year and a half after she contributed an article to our book and I wrote her story. She has always come to me and had me to help her translate something from Persian to English, and she would ask me to check the spelling. And these translations, these articles, these postings would go up on her Instagram website where she features a campaign called KHMA. This campaign is for religious freedom in Iran. And on this website, she would have many people from all over the world, other Christians, other human rights activists, to send her videos. And on this website, she would feature other Christians talking about religious freedom in their country and in the country of Iran. So Fatima, as soon as she was released in prison, from prison, in Evin prison in 2017, she got very busy. In fact, the picture on my radio link is a picture of a sign she was holding, translated from Farsi to English, stop the violence against Christians in Iran. This is a girl who is kind of a rare activist. A lot of your activists are underground. They're in the house church movement. While they're busy evangelizing, they are kind of quiet in other respects. Fatima is different. She wants a church in Iran for Christians above the ground, like the Armenian churches and the Assyrian churches. She believes Christians should never have to meet secretly. Now, of course, I agree with her, but in a practical sense, it's quite dangerous what she's doing. And, of course, the Iranian theocratic regime would never allow converted Muslims having their own church meeting above the ground and not having to meet secretly. You know that would never go over with them. But you understand something about Fatima. There is a quote I have here from her, a quote just a couple of weeks before she was arrested. It's in an article published by Article 18, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that later. The article says, and this is a quote from Fatima, "I hope that one day all Christians in Iran will have a place to praise God without security guards." Wow. Just think about what she said there. Now, I keep mentioning Article 18. They have a website, they have a Facebook page, they have a Twitter account. They're a London-based, UK-based group. And they've been active since September of 2009. Article 18 is based on the International Covenants of Religious Freedom for Christians. And their mission is to be a voice for the voiceless Christians in Iran so that the Universal Church and the international community hears their plights and be moved to action on their behalf. So basically, they stand for Christians in Iran, defending and promoting religious freedom. Article 18 acts as a bridge between persecuted Iranian Christians and the Christian community around the world. Through our efforts, we try to mobilize prayer, encouragement, and assistance to the persecuted Christians in Iran by engaging in advocacy work and provision of reliable news updates to the media. We seek to promote and increase awareness of the human rights, in particular the right to religious freedom among Iranian Christians. We believe by knowing what their rights are, the church in Iran can stand for justice and freedom, leading the way in transformation of their society based on biblical principles. This is a group that has published Fatima's articles. And I want to really speak to you this morning about one particular article about what Fatima was doing just before her arrest and why it's very possible that the Iranian regime, who put her under surveillance, we're following her activities. But before I do that, I want to bring to your attention a comment on one of my posts this morning, one of my posts on Facebook that talks about what I believe is happening to Fatima right now, and it talks about the church. And somebody made just an incredible comment on this post about Fatima. It's called Highest Power Films. Highest Power Films, they are a film production company that does docuseries. And I want you to hear what they said on the post this morning. Please take a moment to pray for the underground church in Iran. Furthermore, let us all internally audit our lives and what we're seeking to get out of our time with God. Are we not searching for something greater in this life? Is it peace, happiness, and success labeled as Jesus? Or, my friends, is it to labor intensely to know God Himself daily we're after? Despite heavy and hostile persecution, there is a phenomenal explosion of Christian conversions in Iran. For many, their conversion means a death sentence on their life. Let us pray and also be inspired with our hearts lit ablaze by the testimony of our brothers and sisters in change who have much by their example to teach us Christians in the free West. Wow. Unbelievable what that comment means to me. Thank you, Highest Power Films. Well, again, to update you, in case you somehow missed it on the last broadcast, my dear Iranian Christian friend, Fatima Mohammadi, which she likes to be referred to as Mary, was arrested in Tehran and taken into an unknown location. And that's according to also HRANA, which is the Persian Language News Agency. She's 21 years old. She likes to refer to herself as Mary. And she was arrested Sunday, that is January 12th, near Azadi Square, where protests were taking place following the Iranian government's admission of guilt in the downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane. So it was a very intense situation. I don't know if she was there part of the protest or was just passing through. I want you to hear on her Twitter account, according to Article 18, the article that published this story, what Mary was saying right up until the time she was being arrested. She was talking about hard-pressed and suppression is the norm in Iran. She's talking about the way the media, the way the government is treating people, that the Iranian regime is institutionalizing false beliefs through selective coverage of the news. And I'm sure she was referring to the Ukrainian plane. And she says lies that are bigger and more repetitive make them more believable. So she's talking about their deception in the media. She's talking about the lies they're telling. And she's busy on Twitter saying these things right up until the time that she was arrested. So in the opinion of this website and others, they're saying, look, this could have led to her arrest. Because, you know, in Iran, Facebook is illegal. You have to use VPN to anti-filter to get beyond the filter. It's some type of software. And there are cyber police that do monitor accounts. There's been many Christians arrested using Instagram, many activists arrested using Telegram. They have been found out by the cyber police. I don't know exactly how they do it, but they do it. So Mary Fatima has also been speaking out to not only me, but to Article 18. And how that they suppressed her education. They kicked her out of university back in December. And because of her views, she is speaking out against the oppression of Christians in Iran. Right before her arrest, she was on Twitter. She was highlighting the sentencing of 9 converts to Christianity in Arash and their prison sentence. She was talking about them. You can see on her Twitter account, she had videos. She was speaking out of these Christians in Iran that have had prison sentences because of their beliefs. And she has been busy trying to make the situations of Christians in Iran known to the world. She wants to explain why they're persecuted and why they're doing what they're doing. She says, I want to use my campaign to educate people that converts to Christianity in Iran are persecuted. They're deemed inferior. And she had an extensive interview with Article 18, talking about the suppression of her basic fundamental rights as a Christian. And she believes that's why she was expelled or kicked out of university. They asked her, do you think that's the reason why? And she says, of course, all the activities, writing statements, and any action taken by members of minority groups and activists, especially those living in Iran, is constantly monitored by the Islamic Republic. And she's letting us know exactly what it's like to be a Christian in Iran. I'm bringing to attention to you about Fatima and Christians in Iran to make a point. It was just yesterday, I was at Grace Church. I attend this church here in Florissant. I was sitting in a comfortable, well-heated, nice-looking church, high technology, video screens, worship, etc. And I thought about Fatima, of course. I was praying for her. And I was thinking about my church. I was thinking about all of our churches. I was thinking about the Christians in Iran who would love to have a nice place to meet and worship without fear like I was doing. And as I sat there thinking about the program today, I thought about a blog that I wrote several years ago about this subject. And I want to talk to us this morning briefly, not only about Fatima, but about freedom, freedom to worship, and the mission of our church here in the West. I have a question that's really burning in my soul. Where is your church? Well, that's a common question that most Christians ask each other. Where is your church? Where do you worship at? Where do you meet at on Sunday? In our culture today, most churches are built to look like shopping malls to attract the sensitive seeker and make them feel right at home, comfortable. Most churches, of course, have comfortable padded pews with state-of-the-art video and audio technology and are even complete with cafeterias. Guess what? My church has one of those. If we're honest, most of our churches are insulated from the real world in a comfortable zone where members can be sheltered from all of the chaos and the confusion. The Sunday sermon sometimes amounts to little more than a pep talk that's guaranteed to get you out in time for lunch or before the start of a major sporting event. Now, let me just clarify something. My church is not like that. They participate in missions, very good biblical teachings. But a lot of churches that may be similar in architecture and structure like mine cater to the seeker-sensitive, cater to their needs. They're pretty insulated from the world. They're not out there on the front lines. They want to make you feel comfortable. And so my question, again, I want to raise to us this morning, where is your church? Right now, Fatima's church could be in a prison ward, surrounded by many other women, disease-ridden, drug addicts, criminals, horrible, infested conditions with much disease. She could be in a ward where she's taken to a small room by security forces, where they sit her down and perhaps even physically assault her, demanding to know her Christian associations, who she talked to. Is she evangelizing? Are you passing out Bibles? Are you doing this and that? Tell us, Fatima. You need to tell us, or we will find out, or you will never get out of this prison, or you could even be executed. Tell us, Fatima, and they could even beat her. And in some cases, God forbid, she is raped and assaulted. This is, quote unquote, the church that my Christian friend is spending in now. It's not padded pews. It's not the latest technology. It doesn't have cafeterias. You're not sitting down and having a great time, no fear. She is in a broken, dirty cell. So my question is, where is your church? Is it safely inside four walls and padded pews or, in my case, is it outside of the box? It's definitely among the broken and homeless, I can tell you that. But is your church outside of the box? Is it among the broken and hopeless, where it is dangerous, risky, and inconvenient? You know, when I think of what Fatima is probably going through, I'm challenged to step out of my comfort zone, out of my comfort zone to go where the real needs are. And, you know, I write books to Muslims and Christians in Iran, and I chat with them on the internet. But let's be honest, I do it in a safe environment with no risk to my life that I know of. What Fatima's example as a Christian should do to us is challenge us in our complacency, challenge us in our comfort zone, and challenge us as Christians to go out where the broken and the hurting are. The days of playing church, my friend, are over. We have a hurting and dying culture that needs the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. And my dear friend Fatima, in her interview, has a prayer. She says, "I hope that one day all Christians in Iran will have a place to praise God without security guards." I'm blown away by her. I'm so inspired, so convicted, and so challenged by her example. And so what I'm asking you to do is to set aside some time this week, this day, whatever day works for you. And I want you to pray for dear Fatima. I want to thank the traffic on my Facebook page. I have had over 570 shares of her story. And I am just so impressed by the number of Christians that are coming out to support Fatima. I'm very, very blessed to have some of these people. I don't even know. They're not even my Facebook friends. But they have found this article by God's grace on the internet, and they're sharing it. And I hope they're praying for it too. Many of them have come back to this particular post and have asked for updates. And I wish I could be more specific to you. I wish I could tell you with certainty exactly what is going on. I can tell you what I think, and I think it's probably pretty accurate. But her family is hurting. They have no idea exactly where Fatima has been taken. And you know, I have some friends that I'm very close to, Miriam Rostampour and Marzia. They were both in Evin prison in 2009. They were on death row for distributing Bibles all over Iran. By the grace of God, they were miraculously freed. They live here in the United States now. They've written a groundbreaking book, Captive in Iran. They know exactly how Christians are treated in Iran. And so I just want to share with you this morning, your prayers and support of Fatima are absolutely essential, because she has decided to fearlessly and courageously follow Jesus. I want us to hear this song right now by Jaden Levick. It's all about who Fatima is.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Jaden Levesque, a song that touches the heart and soul of who I am, of who Fatima is. Following Jesus in Iran, the number 9 country on Open Doors worldwide watch list as one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. And yet, Fatima's example to me and to all of us is that although it's dangerous, like the song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus said it best, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It's risky, it's dangerous, but this is what Mary Fatima Mohammadi has decided to do with her life. I know her, and she never has backed down from her convictions. Because she loves Jesus. She loves the freedom that Jesus gives to Christians all over the world. She wants the Iranian Christians to have freedom. Please keep Fatima in your prayers. Please share this radio podcast with all of your friends. The very minute I have any updates on her whereabouts and her conditions, I will put it on my Facebook page. I promise you. So go out today and celebrate Martin Luther King Day, and remember he stood for injustice everywhere. He would stand with Mary Fatima. Stand with my dear Iranian Christian friend. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Mm-hmm.